a priest named Zacharias. The course of Abia, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. This is Zechariah's office, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. But this certain day that Zacharias went to the temple, the whole multitude of people were praying without the time of incense. But there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Boy, that's a great change, isn't it? Out of the middle of nowhere, she is righteous. Both of them are before God, but they're barren. No children, no fruit of the womb. But after one visit to the temple, an ordinary visit, something happened. And now is a great change, because God said, or the angel said, you're no longer going to be barren, but you're going to be bringing forth a child named John, and you're going to have joy, you're going to have gladness, and many people shall rejoice at his birth. Stay with me. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verse 21. And listen to this. While all this is going on in the temple, the people are standing outside, just an ordinary day, worshiping. For when Zacharias would go in to burn incense, the people would stand outside the temple and worship. So they were used to Zacharias going in at one time, and every day it was just the usual. He had come out at the same time every day. But all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, verse 21, and the people waited. Woo! Woo! The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. There was something going on that day in the temple. Wouldn't you like for folks, amen, around us that are used to us getting out at 12 o'clock or 12:10, amen, to say, marvel, amen, that the highway didn't get out to 3 or 4? Woo!
Wouldn't that be a miracle? Amen. That's a miracle for any church. But the people marveled for the simple fact Zacharias didn't come out at the same time. Zacharias, amen, wouldn't have. Something's going on in the temple. Something's happened. And now the Bible says, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. I know it's a lot of reading, but it's good. Verse number 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is a 6th month with her, who was called barren. Past tense. She used to be barren. She once was called barren, but now she's 6 months with child, even in her old age. Listen to this. Verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Here's Mary. Holy Ghost has dealt with her, the angel. She's going to bring forth Jesus. Amen. A son, call him Jesus. Then also her cousin now in her old age has got baby. And so it entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, oh, I love this, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe, the once barren womb, the once womb that could bear no children, heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe that was supposed to not be there leaped within her womb. Hallelujah. Amen. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, glory, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Such and this way. Say, Holy Ghost, help that preacher this morning. Help him this morning. Raise both your hands. Ask God to touch you right now. Oh, Spirit of God, have your way right now. Oh, Lord, take us out of our tired bodies, out of our tired minds. And oh God, help us to get in the Spirit of thine. One mind, one accord. Help us this morning. In Jesus' lovely name we pray, and the church said, amen. The Bible said that Zacharias was a good man. That Zacharias even come from a good family. That Elizabeth, amen, was from the house of Aaron. A good woman. A godly people. Righteous. But there was only one problem with their, amen, lives. Though they were righteous, though they come from righteous parents, though they come from a righteous lineage, they were yet barren, without, amen, no children, no fruit, amen. So, for just a little while this morning, I want to preach for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes maybe. I want to preach on from barren to fruitfulness. From barren to fruitfulness. Amen. Well, preacher, what are you telling me? Amen. One day, Zacharias is a godly man, godly wife. But they're old now. No children. Amen. No fruit. Amen. From their loins. Amen. So one day, Zacharias, being the priest of the man that he was, went to the temple to do his ordinary offices. Every every day. And he went in to burn incense. And he began to burn it. Every day he would come out as the people worshiped. Amen. And they didn't even get to go in the temple. Amen. But they worshiped because Zacharias was in the temple. Amen. I marvel at that. We can't get people to worship and they can even feel the power of God. In those days, the million and something Jews that came out of Egypt, they would worship as Moses prayed. And they didn't even get to experience what Moses was experiencing. They just worshiped. Amen. The people worshiping. All of a sudden, Zacharias didn't come out on time. Zacharias didn't. For when Zacharias got in and began to burn incense, the Bible said that the angel of the Lord come down in the temple and appeared unto Zacharias and said, Zacharias, your wife being barren is going to bring forth a child. Amen. Come on now. And I'm afraid in our church world today, amen, a lot of folks are living their best of their ability to Bible and living their best of their ability to holiness and a holiness standard. Some ain't caught up yet. How would y'all help me just a little while? Some ain't caught up yet. Amen. But God somehow, hopefully, God will help them to come along in time. Amen. But most people, amen, are trying their best, amen, to live right. But often we find ourselves in a shape of barrenness, a shape of emptiness. Oh, glory. A feeling without, a feeling of containing nothing, ineffective, useless, of no, amen, worth, an empty space. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, that's where the Dallas got the preacher fine last night. Amen. We can go from glory to glory. Amen. We can leave barrenness today. Amen. And get into fruitfulness. Leave this building. And somebody say, my God, what happened to you? What went on in your life? Well, I used to be barren. But now I'm fruitful. I used to contain nothing. But after one trip to the temple, an ordinary trip to the temple, something happened. All great revivals. Amen. If I'm not mistaken. Amen. As soon as the street started out with just a few women deciding to pray a little bit more than what they were used to praying. They decided to pray a little bit longer than what they were used to praying. And something got a hold of them and it struck a hunger in their heart. And so therefore, in just a few days' time, it sparked a great revival, amen, that we have preached about for ages. And we'll preach about it. Went down in history all because a few women met with God. Come on now, help me just a little while. I know we're used to ordinary Sunday mornings. And today's just a regular day. The sun come up the same way. Amen, the same, amen, traffic on the highway. Amen, as usual. Amen, same neighbor. Amen. Preaching, teaching, singing choir, special song. It's 5 to 12. Amen. But I would that something could come in this building and turn things around. Oh, yes. I would that the Spirit of God could get a hold of us right now in this meeting. Amen. If somebody leave here saying, my God, something happened today. Something happened in my spirit. Amen. I was barren. I felt empty, but I'm leaving fruitful. Containing nothing. The vine has dried up. The fig tree languished. The pomegranate tree. The palm tree also. The apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. I preached last night. If you love God, love His Son, love the Holy Ghost, and love His Word, and love His commandments, that you can live in victory all of your life. That you don't never have to doubt. Come on now. Come on now. I'm afraid one thing the devil is a-whooping us on, amen, in this hour, amen, is our fruitfulness of faith. Come on. Believing that God is able to do what He said that He could do. I want to show you this. There's two men that's got fields. One goes to his field, churches today. Amen. Got weeds growing all in their field. The worldly crowd. Anything goes. Live any way you want to live. Do anything you want to do. You still can be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. So they go out and they pour seed into the field. Amen. Yes, they do. Amen. I want to tell you, some places, worldly churches sometime that I preached for has treated me better. Amen. Nicer. Amen. Than holiness people. Come on now. Amen. Because they pour all their good seed into their field, trying to get corn to grow, trying to get fruit to grow. But they find out that you can't grow it with them weeds. The weeds choke out the life. Come on now. That's why you see these worldly church giving all they give, doing all they do. They're trying to pour good seed to grow fruit, but it don't prosper. It may look to our eyes that it's prospering, and it may look to their eyes that it's prospering, but they're prospering with materialistic things, but not with the spiritual fruit of the Spirit. But then we've got those on this side that clean their field. They ain't a weed nowhere. They ain't a spot. I mean, you can't even spot a weed nowhere. But we sit back, cross our legs, fold our arms, and say, "You're going to bless me because I'm holy. You're going to bless me because I'm holy. I'm righteous. You're going to bless me because I'm sanctified. You're going to bless me just because I live right." And we think that's all there is to it. And it's all over with. But there our fruit is not bearing no fruit. Our field, amen, no bearing nothing. Amen, they're not bearing nothing because the weeds. We're not bearing nothing because we're not doing nothing to bear anything. Come on now, help me just a little while. But I want to tell you, I would that the highway could reach it and grasp it today. Amen. That we can go from barren to fruitfulness. Somebody could leave this place with joy being birthed in the womb of their spirit. Come on. Bible said Jesus, I gotta hurry. Bible said Jesus walked into the on the Sabbath, walked into the place there and said the people watched him to see what he's going to do. There was a man sitting over there with a withered hand. The Bible said they watched him, not Jesus, they watched the withered hand there to see. And about that time Jesus said, "Come here. You man with a withered hand, come here. Hold your hand down beside you." And the Bible said they looked. Jesus turned around and looked at them with anger. With a heart, because he knew their hearts were hard. He said, is it good or is it bad to do good on the Sabbath?" They were getting ready because they knew him. They knew he was going to heal him. That's why when he walked in, they started watching the withered hand. They knew he's going to heal that man. But they were trying to find a way to condemn what he was going to do. Still have accepted what he was going to do. And if they would just realize and turn it around, they could have got restoration in Nashville. I want to ask you a question. Could that withered hand man live with a withered hand? Huh? Can a withered man, amen, he still can work because he's got one good hand. He still can get married. He's got one. He still can have children. So therefore, he can live with a withered hand. He didn't have to be healed. It wasn't a necessity. Oh, help me while I preach. Help me while I preach. I'm afraid we walk around today living with things in our spiritual lives that we really don't have to live with. Come on now. We're walking around in conditions that we really don't have to be walking. Some things we accept. There was a certain man one time in a certain church, amen, who had messed up a little bit. Amen, didn't go out on his wife, just got real low spiritually, got real down. And he got up and for years he said, God will never use me. God will never use me like he one time used me. Every time he get up, that's what he say. Amen. Cause you want to know why? The devil had told him that God would never use him. And so therefore he accepted the fact that God would never use him. And I'm afraid that's what we have done. We've learned to live with handicaps. We've learned to live with withered wounds, withered joy, withered worship, withered amen dedication. And we just learn to live without it. We think that because it's been here so long, because this depression, this oppression has been here so long, that I've got to live like this. But I want to tell you, amen, it might have didn't look much to them, but Jesus was concerned about the withered hand. And today, hallelujah, the Lord is concerned about our barrenness, about our witheredness. Oh, glory. Amen. When your joy gets withered, it withers your fruit. Come on now. But God would like to restore the withered joy in our lives. And we can leave here with a womb in our spirit full of joy, full of gladness. Full of faith. I would some of you just finish, I ain't gonna live like this. I don't have to live like I'm living. I can get over this. I can get over this. Just like an elephant. My grandpa told me this. Just like an elephant. From a child, they drive a stake in the ground. And they put him around a rope around his neck, tie around that little stake, and the whole time he's born, from the time he gets old, he has learned as a baby, he can't pull that up. So when he gets older, they can untie him from that stake, take him to a big tree, wrap the rope around, he'll pull the whole tree up, truck and all. But then they can take him back to that stake, wrap it around it when all he had to do is do like that and it'd come up. Tie him back to it, he'll walk around and around it. Come on now. Because all this, oh, I feel like preaching. Woo! He just keeps walking around and around it. He's got the power to get loose. But he's just got it in his thick mind, amen, that I can't pull it up because I couldn't do it when I was a child and I can't do it now. And that's the way the devil has done some of us. He's got us walking around tied to our little stake, and we've been there for months, and we've been there for years, and we just keep walking around and walking around, and the devil said, you can't get loose from it. I want to tell you, the Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if that's a fact, the devil can't bind me. We preach, the devil's got me bound. No, he don't. Woo! I'll get quiet on me. You may allow sin in your life and it'll bind you. But the devil can't bind a set free, born again Christian. I'm a feeling heaven right this minute. Amen. It's about 8 minutes after. Can I preach some more? Come on now. The devil can't bind somebody that has been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, buddy, I don't have to act like a sinner. I don't have to look like one, talk like one, have attributes as one, because I ain't a sinner. Neither are you. If you've been to the blood of Jesus and have been washed and cleansed and set free, amen, you don't have to act like them, talk like them, think like them, be bound like them. My God, you're free. You used to be bound. Come on now. You used to be a servant of sin. We used to be a servant of sin, controlled by the power of sin. But now we have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we've got the right, amen, come on now, to worship and get all that God has got in our lives. But we are bound by our lack of faith. I'm not here for you to shout this morning, am I? I'm here to preach something to you that you can grasp, and it'll take you somewhere. It's going to take you. Oh, boy, I'm a feeling heaven in my soul. I know you ain't shouting right this. Oh, but I'm a feeling it. You know what faith would do to you this morning? Here we go. In your head. And your heart would go, I can have what he's talking about. I can go from bearing the fruit. I can. I can. What is faith? Bringing future things in the present. So I can shout in the valley thinking about being on the mountaintop. I can shout now thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, because faith brings it from there and puts it here. Woo! I feel heaven in my soul today. Oh, glory. We've been walking around with withered hands and withered feet. Come on now. Faith of the brain and the jaw ain't worth a hill of beans or nothing. But have faith in the hands and the feet is worth everything. Come on. And the devil's tried to wither. Come on now. Stand up, withered man. The Bible said, Jesus said, come here. And I love this. The Bible said, Jesus said, stretch it forth. It's time to quit. But I'm a feeling something stirring in this place. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to sense the presence of the awesome power of the Spirit of God that has come to restore us, to restore. Oh, all glory. My God, I wish you could feel it right now. I wish you could grasp it in your heart and say, my God, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. I need to stretch forth my witherness. I need to stretch forth my barrenness. I can't, preacher. Yes, you can. Demon-possessed boy coming to meet the other night where I was at. I was right in the middle of black magic in the Indian country. I was right in the middle of witchcraft. This demon-possessed boy come in praying. Come on, I'm going somewhere. I didn't know he's possessed. And I got praying with him. He was holding a keychain of him and his girlfriend. They've been having problems. And a spirit of suicide grabbed him. Tried to commit suicide twice. He was kneeling down there crying and praying. Nice young man. Nice looking young man. I said, come on, son. Leonard, I can't think his name was Leonard. I said, pray, buddy. Pray. I said, if you don't, you're going to go to hell, son. That devil's going to take you to hell. Come on now. That's pretty plain, but I had to get plain with it. He said, Brother Gray, me and my girlfriend's been having problems. I said, you need to put that down, buddy. I said, because whether that happens or not, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. I said, forget her. Amen. Worry about getting saved, and God will take care of the rest. Now that time I said, I didn't know he's possessed, but I grabbed him around the head and said, come on, son. I said, pray with me, Jesus. I'm sorry when I did. That force of hell rose up. He began to squirm like a snake. Amen. Screaming and hollering. Amen. Couldn't stand the side of the Bible. Amen. We anointed him. Oh, he went screaming, stop, it's burning. Amen. We would say Jesus, Leonard. Call on Jesus. And Leonard would say this. He won't let me. He won't let me say it. Come on. I said, yes, he will. Because we got authority through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. To let you go. Amen. But Leonard said, he won't let me. He won't do it. He won't do it. We said, say it, Leonard. He said, he won't let me. Stop. You're making him hurt me. Come on now. And about that time, the whole house got in one mind and one accord. He rolled over and went to, and God delivered him of that spirit and had him bound. He rolled over and went to squalling. I'm sorry, Jesus. Wash me in the blood. I plead. He could pray then. Do you hear me? He could pray then. But this morning at the highway, you ain't got no demon holding you back. You ain't got no hell keeping you back. Amen. It's just a fact of you stretching it out there. Here it is, God. He won't let me. Oh, I don't care what he said. You child of God, get up and do it anyhow. He's been lying to you all this time, telling you ain't no good, you unworthy. Come on now, you might as well live like this all your life, and you just believed him, you just listened to him, you listened to the devil, so you believed him. But you know what? You got the power to get up from the conversation. I ain't listening no more. And there ain't nothing he can do to get to where you're at. Because I don't care what he brings out. He can't cross the bloodline. He can't get to where I'm at. Amen. We allow him to talk to us. We allow him to lie to us. We allow him, amen, to pull us when we don't have to. We can say, devil, I'm covered by the blood. Leave me alone, stand. Barren to fruitful. Philemon said, Paul wrote to Philemon. I don't want to say it's Onesimus. I can't remember. Onesimus had left them. But the Bible said, Paul said, Philemon, bring Onesimus. He used to be unprofitable to me, but now he's profitable unto you and me. So bring Onesimus with you. For he's went from unprofitable to profitable. What about that? Old John Mark left Jesus in the garden. Come on now. He was always a runner. He always ran away. And then right in the middle of the discipleship, amen, piling him. He left them again and went back to Jerusalem early. So boss said, don't bring him in. He won't do us no good. All of a sudden he told him in another scripture, said, bring John Mark. Bring him with you. Woo! Amen. His witherness has been healed. His barrenness has been healed. He's gone from barren to full. Woo! Amen. Come on, the devil don't want the church to realize this one fact. Woo! The devil don't want you to realize that you don't have to live like you've been living. Amen. That you can go from barren to fruitfulness in one Sunday morning. In one Sunday morning. Stretch forth thy hand. And the Bible said, when he stretched it forth, immediately it was restored. And that withered hand started moving. And this morning some of you have got withered joys and withered wounds and barrenness in your life. But the Spirit of God wants to take you from barrenness into fruitfulness. Come on. Amen. Let's come. Sing, says a pig. Some of you need to come right now. Amen. Stretch forth that hand. Was just Brother Greg worked up? No. We're going to go one way or the other. This service says either if it's going to come to an altar of 5 minutes of prayer, we're going to go either that way or either if it's going to get out of them pews, come in here and say, devil, I ain't living like this no more. Preacher told me I can go from barren to fruitfulness. And I'm fixing to. Right before your eyes. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Nothing. Faith takes a tropical plant, put it in a cold environment, it withers. But take that tropical plant out of that cold environment, put it in the normal environment, in the proper climate, and it grows again. That's what faith does to us. It takes us out of this modern religion climate and puts us into the heavenly world. So we grow again and we blossom again. How many of they say, preacher, I'd like to go from barren to fruitfulness? Say, preacher, I feel like my wounds withered. But I'm a coming to bear fruit this time. Woo! Do you feel that? Do you feel that? Do you feel that, Brother Collins? Man, if I had to start revival, I'd want to start here again. Woo! On this Sunday morning, from bearing the fruitfulness, step out in that aisle right now. Come in this altar, say, I'm stretching forth my witheredness. Come on. Come on, let's go the right way. Let's pray. Let's don't worry about the food. Let's get a hold of some fruit this morning. Amen. You new converts, you can get a hold of it today. Hallelujah. If you're not saved, you can be saved. Ephesians 5 and 18 said, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing his spiritual hymns and songs.
Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sang low. Then I heard about Jesus. What?